Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So you know what? I've got another repeat guest, and they don't get invited back unless they're good. I have to confess. That's the bar you have to get over to come back and be on the program. And I had a great conversation not long ago with a gentleman who's written a fascinating book, and I was just confessing to him that I read it cover to cover, and I couldn't put it down when I was on vacation. And the book, ready for this? Why Hire Jennifer? How to Use Branding and Uncommon Sense to Get Your First Job, Last Job, and Every Job in Between. On the line with me is Richard Lewis. Rich, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Dave. Welcome back to you, too.
Hey, thank you. I was sharing with Rich, and I'll finish sharing with our listeners, that I was on vacation. I took your book with me, and now I have a job, and I have a job which I think is my last job, and I love my job, and it's very rewarding, but I loved, there's a lot of stuff in your book that it's written to help people with, you know, getting into the workforce, and we're going to continue that conversation today, but there's a lot of stuff in your book that I really found fascinating from a business and marketing and branding standpoint, and I all of those things were essential no matter what anybody does. So for folks that are out there that would like a fresh perspective on branding, I'm going to tell them to get your book because I found it very, very helpful.
Well, thank you. And actually, there was—I think we spoke about 2 months ish ago.
Yes.
And the book has received some pretty good notes and very
Excellent.
Good attention. And I've even sold a few copies.
Outstanding.
Fortunately, everybody doesn't give away their copy. Some people actually have to go buy a copy, so that. That's helpful, you know, for me and eating every day.
Yes, well, that's important. That's important.
Yeah.
And, well, and I will tell you, I confessed also to Rich that as I had someone that was, it's actually a great segue for what I want to get into today. So I'll set it up this way, Rich, is, you know, we talked the last time for those folks that might have missed the program. They can go, of course, to my website and they can listen to it again, go to our archive. But we talked about helping. The premise of your book was helping the person get, you know, go from the pre-workforce into the workforce, or maybe back into the workforce. And you and I talked about getting back together and talking again about once you're on the job, what to do. And my little anecdote is that I was reading this book and I had somebody at this hotel I stayed at that I could see she was watching me and curious about the book. And when I finished, I gave it to her, and because she was looking to make that transition into her next job and then what to do when she got there. And that's really what I was hoping what we could get to today, Rich, is, okay, you've got your job. You've been hired.
Mm-hmm.
Now what? How do you make the most of that job when you get the job? What are some of the things that are smart to do?
Well, it's remarkable stuff. I think that when you and I were kids, and I'm sure you're much younger than I am, when you and I were kids, things we sort of like took for granted because people taught us stuff, that now that we have to be careful that we don't assume that 20-somethings actually know what to do once they start that first day of work. They, for instance, they don't know to get there early, and they don't know to stay there late. That at the beginning of the ladder, when you're at the bottom of the food chain, if you are ambitious and you want to learn and you want to advance and you want to be seen, the best way to do that is to arrive first and leave last. And so that management can see that you are serious about this job and not serious about going out with the boys for some beers as soon as you can.
You know, it is kind of a basic thing that I know I did learn and did understand, and it was part of the, much more about, I think, part of the culture. It is different today, and it is not necessarily what people know to do, and it's the little things, right?
I mean, absolutely, and also for the second thing people have to do is they have to get out of their cubicle and they have to go see what else is going on in the firm where they are, because they want to find a mentor. Now, a mentor is somebody who's going to take an interest in this person's career, and help guide them along. It may be their boss. It may be their boss's boss. It may be somebody in an entirely different department. But it will enable the new person in the job to get a broader view about what's going on in the company and to get exposure in the company beyond the 7 or 8 footsteps they take each day in their normal area of work.
How do they, that's very good, Rich. How do they strike the right balance? Because my first thing I thought of is, they're trying to create the right impression. They don't want people to think they're wandering around the office, just sniffing around and kind of poking their nose where it doesn't belong. How do you do that tactfully?
Well, so many companies are meeting driven, and people spend half their day or more sitting in meetings with people from other departments, making decisions, reviewing issues. And as soon as you have an opportunity to be placed in a meeting, you'll get to see and hear what other people do, and you get to do the same thing. You get to sort of, not show off, but demonstrate that you're seriously engaged in this job, and you have this appetite, thirst, for more assignments, more responsibility, and become a more interesting person in a company. So you don't just hide out in your safe spot where
Good
no
point.
One else can see you.
Good point. Right in there, I will offer this as the business owner out here employing people, and doing this and being one of those bosses. In doing what you just described, which is excellent advice, that people be careful when they do try to, get, for lack of a better word, get noticed and start to participate and start to see what's going on. Listen a lot and ask questions. That should be 90% of your of your meeting diet.
Right.
And then that's really where I think people, will respond favorably.
Well, of course, it's important not to say something until you have something to say.
And don't say something just to say something.
Correct. But you have to infiltrate. You have to see what's going on. You have to investigate. And this is not suspicious activity by any means. This is smart curiosity to get noticed in a firm and to make new contacts. That's what you want to do. Because unfortunately, not everybody, Dave, has you as a boss. And because I suspect you're a pretty good boss, and some bosses actually hold people back for lots of silly reasons. So it's a bit defensive here and aggressive to see what else is going on in a company where you can have a role and where you can be seen. So it's important to create new footsteps, and it's also important to behave yourself.
Because, well, that's a good one. I wanted to get to that.
Because I think so many young people come out of a fraternity dormitory environment where anything goes, and that which means how they dress, how they use media. For instance, people who think nothing of taking out their phone in the middle of a conversation with somebody else in order to check their mail, to check their text, check Instagram and so forth. They have to learn in a firm to see what the culture is, what is acceptable before you take your weapons out of your pocket, as a matter of fact.
So again, observe.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's just pay attention to what's going on. Because this is not stuff that they explain to you when you're hired. This is not when HR goes over your benefits, they don't say, okay, keep your phone in your pocket.
Yeah.
Companies give you the benefit of the doubt that you understand stuff, that you look around, and you're smart enough to get this job, so you've got to be smart enough to do some imitative behavior and not stand out badly, goodly.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. And be an intelligent merger. Be the guy who's smart about how they merge onto the interstate. Don't just go flying out in the middle of everywhere. There's already, hundreds of cars there. Merge in, observe, and see the traffic flow. Don't just go, go in at 20 miles an hour or 100.
That's right. You have to use, so it's what we simply used to refer to as common sense, but now is seemingly uncommon.
It requires effort now.
Yeah, it's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah, I was saying to somebody the other day, things weren't like this 50 years ago. They made sense when I was growing up.
I wonder if every generation has said that, Rich.
I think so, too. Well, actually, another issue I want to bring up with you, which may also be very interesting to this audience.
Yes.
Because, obviously, when I wrote this book, I'm a college professor. I wrote this book thinking of my college students in mind.
Yeah.
As they got through college and they approached graduation and they try to figure out who they were and how to go about getting a job. Those are the two main aspects of the job. Who you are and how do you go about getting a job. It's kind of big, but kind of simple to understand. What I didn't realize until the book was out for about a month, that the book was also resonating with a lot of, well, I could call them real adults, say people even in their 30s and their 40s and older, and people who are returning to work. Because this whole vast audience of people, particularly moms, because it's mostly moms who return to work,
true,
who fear they don't have the tools needed to get back into the workflow, into the work stream. So I've done a couple of interviews with some media that are especially interested in preparing people to go back to work, and it caused me to think about what the messages are in Why Hire Jennifer that are also critical for adults as well.
So the very same things that you talk about in your book for people just coming out of college or going to work after high school, that these are some of the same things that the person who's been underemployed or not employed and is getting back in, a lot of the same stuff applies to them.
Absolutely. And I mean, for instance, you say you're a return-to-work mom. You were you chose, and God bless people who do, chose to be a mother, say, for 5, 10 years, 15 years before, and not working, or being blessed that they didn't have to work while they were raising their kids, or they didn't have to work full-time. And a lot of people, particularly women, feel at a disadvantage that they don't have the skill set. So one thing I point out to people is that to be a parent requires a great deal of talent and skills that are also applicable in the office setting.
That's very true.
So what do I mean? I mean prioritizing. Because everyone makes much ado about this whole multitasking deal when you're at work. Well, people have to do this at home as well. But multitasking is really just figuring out what do I do first, what do I do second, what do
right,
I do third,
right.
And knowing where you're going about doing that. And that's critical. It's as critical at home as it is in an office or business setting, that somebody knows how to prioritize and knows how to execute. And that's what parents do. Although sometimes they probably want to execute their kids, not just execute the stuff that has to get done.
Yeah.
So that's a second area that I found useful is that people don't know how to network.
Yeah.
Or they fear that, well, how do I do this? And they have to... They probably know so many people through their children, other families through their children's lives, and they probably hear about who else, you know, among their friends, you know, relatives or friends' friends who are working for businesses that they might want to work at. And you just have to sort of say, hey, listen, Alice, I know your brother works at this marketing firm. Do you think he might be willing to talk to me about some future position? And of course they're going to say yes, because Alice knows what a good person you are and probably how skilled you are, and you're probably going to get a personal recommendation and the entree into a firm that you may want to work at. And that's what so much of the task of finding a job begins,
right?
Just getting in and having somebody.
That's gold. That's gold right there. Yeah, that's the golden part of it. I mean, that's the heart of what it takes. If you're just joining us, Richard Lewis is on the line with me, author and teacher and ad man, and he's written the book, Why Hire Jennifer, How to Use Branding and Uncommon Sense to Get Your First, Last Job and Every Job in Between. That was one breath.
Especially and, those jobs in between.
Yes, exactly. And the website is whyhirejennifer.com. Right back after this break.
When it comes to finding an advisor you can trust, are you unsure of the questions to ask? David Holland has written a book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy today. Or if you'd like to meet one-on-one with David to discuss your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book when you meet. There's no cost or obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back with Richard Lewis. And I know I went a little long on that first part segment, but so apologies there, but I didn't want to interrupt, Rich, because it's just gold. It's gold. It's good stuff for people to know and understand. And we're talking about people returning to the workforce, Rich, and speaking of no apologies, the fact that maybe somebody doesn't have the latest cutting-edge skill or technology, isn't that outweighed to a large degree by just, you know, being a person that's more mature and has these life skills we talked about and being able to bring that to a company? I can tell you, as a business owner, I'm much more interested in the person than I am there having the latest skill.
Absolutely. There's something to be said for adulthood, legitimate adulthood. And so many times I'll hear when I go on consulting assignments, and it's funny because you could be in a room and there's like a dozen 20-somethings, all, you know, bright-eyed and ambitious. And then somebody will say, well, it's good, Richard, to have an adult in the room. And what that means, at least what I think it means, is somebody with some experience, somebody who
has seen things,
is able to ride out the waves, because things aren't always great, and not to overreact when things aren't great. And to help people sort of figure out, again, how to prioritize, how to try to check the emotions at the door. Because this is an office, it's not a club, and there's somebody who has a big investment stake in the people in the room that they actually do their jobs well.
Yes, and, we do. Yes,
and,
we do.
and the companies, frankly, what I've seen where the companies are led by people who behave seriously, which doesn't necessarily mean they take themselves too seriously, but behave seriously about their business and are able to motivate people to also be serious about the business, are the ones that simply do the best. And places you go to a company where people are unhappy and the business is not going to be doing well.
Right.
It's simply how it is. No matter how good the business is, two people generally don't make up for 40 people who aren't doing their job well.
Good point.
And as far as the return to work parents, okay, yeah, they may not have all the, you know, the tech skills that younger people do today, but they probably have a smartphone. They probably know how to use email.
Sure.
Okay. And if they need brushing, also now if you need brushing up on something like Microsoft Word or Excel, you can do these.
Hey, there's a webinar for that.
Yeah, it's so easy. You can do it from home. You don't have to leave.
But there's not a webinar for a good attitude and life experience either. Do a matrix download on me, Rich. I need to know how to fly this helicopter. I mean, that doesn't exist, right?
Exactly. And there was, you know, sometimes there's a reason why this old-fashioned stuff remains new-fashioned. That this, you know, behavior, attitude, and a point of view, and the fact that you have this experience that you've seen clouds and you've gotten through them. And what parent hasn't seen a cloud? And it's very relevant. It's very relevant in the business environment. And I also want to say I'm going to take a breath and I'm going to tell you this: firms are now much more flexible with parents who they have to leave early.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my next questions for you about speaking of clouds, because sometimes there are clouds in parents' lives with kids or just responsibilities.
Well, right. You want to go to a school play. You want to go to an athletic event. The kid has to go to a doctor. Well, the good news is that most companies, when you get there, the people there already are in similar situations. They are also parents who are involved with their children, involved with their children's lives, and when they have to go, they go. So when they do, they're much more accepting and reinforcing with new workers as well. So there's a certain flexibility now, and I think the machines that we have in our pockets make that that transition a little better. But also that the fact that that when we're adults, you know, we can be counted on to do some work even if we're not sitting at a desk inside the office.
Right, exactly. Well, and from a business owner standpoint, I can, you know, just so that our listeners are clear, we live in the real world, and that's part of what happens. And sometimes, you know, it's just being realistic about the environment, and people have things like that. And hey, if you're doing your job and you're doing it well, I could not care any less about that kind of thing as a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. There's your proof.
Well, so I suspect you're a good guy at the office.
Well, you know, it's funny. Thank you, Rich. I mean, you talked about, describing, you know, the business owners and the managers and the people running at the boss about, you know, how seriously they take things. And we take things quite seriously. And I have, you know, you talked about some of the, how people conduct themselves. You know, I take the responsibilities that we have for our clients and what we do for them very seriously. And so I owe them stewardship of the resources that we utilize, these people that choose to be part of my company, my team, to make sure that they do everything that needs to be done to help my client. And so there's a big responsibility that comes with that. So but as a business owner, we've got to be realistic about the environment we're in, and you know, there's got to be some flex.
And it is a team effort.
It has to be, you know.
And frankly, every interview that I hear people tell me about, there's a question regarding how they work with a team. Because while every company wants to have some kind of, a couple of stars, if you're a star, if you can't play well in the sandbox, they're not going to want you.
No, because you're too much work.
Yes, and it's not. You have to. Companies expect you to put their needs first. Not. That's why they're paying you.
Mm. We don't need poison.
No.
I'm serious. We don't need poison in the environment, and that's a big deal. You know, it's having a team that works well together, plays well in the sandbox together, as you put it, Rich. That's really important. And again, that comes from that maturity you talked about, that common sense you talked about, that, you know, to some degree doesn't seem to be really put in place from the beginning. But
and that's why companies take their culture seriously.
Exactly. Exactly.
Companies have a certain attitude. There's a certain color scheme. There's a certain unwritten rules and written rules about how people are promoted and reinforced and paid but largely based on their contribution to their particular team, which then contributes to the welfare of the company. Even in the smallest firm, when you have three people, it's still a team. That's just how it is, and it's really for the good.
That's why
it's so important that companies like hire people that complement each other.
Exactly.
And that it's important that people understand what their role can be and what their strengths are, and that goes back to their own personal brand about what they bring to the party.
And you know what, Rich? We're going to give them a jump start. I can testify and endorse the book you've written, because I think it's great, and I think it's something that a lot of people who are either getting their first job or reentering the workforce or looking even to make a shift or reevaluate where they are, they need to pick the book up and read it. Why Hire Jennifer, How to Use Branding and Uncommon Sense to Get Your First Job, Your Last Job, and Every Job in Between by Richard Lewis. And Rich, we're out of time. So we're going to send them to your website, whyhirejennifer.com, to get more information. And I'm going to challenge you to think of something that you and I can talk about. This is, but we talked before the person had the job. We've talked now that they've got the job. So I want you to come back and let's talk again about another subject. So be thinking about that. And
I'll do that, Dave.
Put that on you. I'd love to have you back.
Because I have fun talking to you on Fridays.
All right. Thank you very much, Rich.
Thank you, pal.
All right. Bye now.
Okay.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.